ladies and gentlemen, it is, I think it should be a national holiday, is Major League Baseball opening day. Couldn't be more excited to get back into Dodgers baseball, coming off a World Series championship last year in Arlington. I got to be there for that. I hope to be at this year's World Series championship too. John, how you feeling?
Good. It's a great week. Even though, like, USC lost, and then last night the Lakers lost, but because UCLA won and the Dodgers are starting, I'm in a great mood, although I was laughing. Morales says, this is your home of real Dodgers talk.
Yes.
And then plays the oldest, corniest, out-of-date Dodgers song ever, the one they retired like 20 years ago.
I say
Let's
D.
Let's go.
Did he play that one?
He also played Dio. The two most homery Dodgers songs ever.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Opening day is filled with optimism, John, for every Major League Baseball team.
No, that's not true.
It's all starting over again. You know, last year I laughed at the Miami Marlins. I thought, oh, Miami Marlins, please. There they were in the playoffs. I mean, things turn around quickly. Things change quickly. And you don't necessarily see every team coming. Like, for example, I was watching a little bit earlier. I don't know if I was watching. I had the Yankees on. But I was watching a little bit earlier. You know, the Toronto Blue Jays have not been a powerhouse in the American League East for a while. I think they're actually going to be really good. I think they're going to get up and get a wild card over Tampa this year.
I think the Yankees run away with the American League East. Win it by double-digit games.
I mean, first of all, I will double down
with the Dodgers, by the way.
I believe the Yankees will win the American League East. But I do think Toronto is going to get up for second, which will be a surprise, which will be an upset. No matter who you are, you've got some hope today. You've got some hope because it all starts over. That's the beauty.
You think Pittsburgh Pirates fans have hope?
Yeah, because, you know, part of baseball is watching
guys
develop.
They have no chance.
It depends. Are you a baseball fan? Are you a serious baseball fan or a casual baseball fan?
I'm a casual baseball fan, but even a casual baseball fan knows Pittsburgh has zero chance to win the World Series this year.
But that doesn't mean that there are going to be cool players developing for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And to me, that's one of the fun parts of following Major League Baseball, is that unlike – let's say the NBA, where there are how many players taken in the draft?
In the NBA draft, 60.
60, okay. 60 players taken in the draft. Major League Baseball, there are a few hundred players taken in the draft, and you never know which one is going to pop. A guy who goes really late in a draft can all of a sudden turn into a Hall of Famer like happened with Mike Piazza. You just never know what you're going to get. Because of all the sports, and you talk about measurables in the NBA, you talk about measurables in the NFL, baseball really doesn't talk about measurables in the same way that other sports do, because baseball talent is really difficult to measure.
Well, not only that, like, there's an old saying about baseball, that every team is going to win 60 games, and every team is going to lose 60 games. It's the other 42 that matter. So it's not that far-fetched that you could have a Tampa make the World Series like they did last year. Because you're really only arguing about those 42 games. Because Every team's going to win 60 and every team's going to lose 60.
Yeah, and more than that, John, and I think this is where it comes down for the Dodgers. I've got everybody in the world predicting a World Series, and I will jump on that band. I'm predicting a World Series championship. But it really does come down to those 19 games as opposed to those 162. Those 19 games, absolutely anything can happen. And that's why there is no guarantee, despite all the talent, despite the addition of Trevor Bauer, the reigning Cy Young Award winner, of all the talent, doesn't guarantee the Dodgers anything. It guarantees, in my mind, that they will be the division winner and they will win 100-plus games in the National League West. But it does not guarantee a World Series championship, because that comes down to how you're playing. It comes down to who has a great start, who has a terrible start, who's on a hot streak, who's on a cold streak, all those things, because it shrinks the sample size. You know, unlike the NFL, where a team could pull an upset and all of a sudden be a surprise, over the course of 162, it's really, really tough because it is the ultimate marathon. I mean, it's twice as many games as get played in the NBA. It is the ultimate marathon. And that means that the hottest teams, the most talented teams, tend to win out. Now, real quick, we should jump over. And we'll, by the way, we'll keep track of the Dodger game for you all afternoon long, so you can stay here for that. But in the meantime, last night, a really disappointing night for Laker fans as Andre Drummond, 14 minutes into the game, ends up leaving with a toe contusion. He is listed as day-to-day now. That's the guy we were really excited to see last night, and the Dodgers are just having really bad injury luck right now.
Lakers, you mean?
Lakers.
By the way, before we move over to the Lakers, do you have the Dodger game on?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually encouraged. I don't know how they broke it down in terms of seating at Coors Field. They're in Colorado.
Yeah.
But there are a fairly decent amount of people there. There's empty seats in every section, so I'm guessing there may be 25% to 50% capacity.
But supposedly 21,000 in Colorado.
It looks pretty good. I mean, like, it looks like this is a regular game with fans. So
yeah,
if that's the model, then what did we hear about Dodger Stadium? Maybe a little more than 10,000?
No, we're up to almost 20,000.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It does not, I mean, I think, you know, you're going to be able to notice that, like, when you went to Arlington, there weren't enough fans where you'd really notice a crowd.
Fox None whatsoever.
Piping in crowd noise and all that stuff. This looks like a crowd on a weekday game. It doesn't look like an opening day crowd, which would be sold out, but it looks really good. It's,
yeah,
like, encouraging.
And all right. I think, but and well, let's do the Andre Drummond thing, and then I got a question for you. Andre Drummond, disappointing last night.
Okay, so here's what happened with Drummond. In the first half, at some point, Brook Lopez stepped on his toe.
Right.
And when he went back to the locker room at halftime, he said his big toenail was gone. And so he must have really got it.
Ugh.
And so he came out, he changed shoes. He came out in the third quarter, and he tried to play on it. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't put pressure on the toe.
Ugh.
So now he's out. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what these things do, but I guess I would be a little surprised if he played tomorrow night. They play at Sacramento, and then they come home to play. It's going to be a road game, but they play at Staples Center on Sunday against the Clippers.
I'm trying to think, though. Toenail torn off.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
That sounds awful.
Well, turf toe is a serious thing. People miss a lot of time with turf toe, but that's not this.
No, that's not this. I mean, literally his toenail got torn off.
Yeah. So that's what he's dealing with. And
like
Milwaukee's a really good team. Like I've been saying, Laker fans have to be prepared for the team to maybe go into a dip when you look at the schedule. The Lakers' schedule coming up gets really, really hard. Like, oh, tomorrow night they're in Sacramento and you think, oh, that's a win. Well, Sacramento beat them the last time they played, and the Lakers, that was the first game the Lakers didn't have LeBron and AD.
Yes.
After that, Clippers on Sunday. Clippers have been pretty good. They're at Toronto down in Florida. Toronto traded some guys, but they kept Kyle Lowry, and they still have Van Vliet. And the Lakers are coming in there without
Siakam,
LeBron and AD.
Toronto's not bad.
At Miami, rematch of the finals. Miami's probably on paper a little better than them. At Brooklyn. Brooklyn would be favored in that game.
Yes.
At the Knicks. The Knicks are pretty good this year. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Their next six games, that road trip ends in Charlotte, which would make it 7. I'm not sure the Lakers are favored in any of those games without LeBron and AD.
No.
Got to be patient. I think when they get their team healthy, they're going to be fine. But in the meantime, you can't jump off the bandwagon if they lose while these key guys are out.
No, and I think people are realistic about this. I mean, I've resigned myself to the fact that we probably are going to drift down in the standings and maybe as far as the play-in tournament, depending on how long everybody is out. By the way, can I tell you about a terrible April Fool's joke?
Uh-oh.
So, first of all, I hate April Fool's Day. I just think it's stupid. I think people do stupid things. I think I can see these stories coming a mile away. But this morning, I open up my Google News, and right at the top of the sports section is LeBron James out for the year. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, what happened? How could this possibly be? I open the story. It's from Clutch Points, which is, generally speaking, a reputable website. And I'm like, oh, my God, what is happening? How can this be? Total April Fool's joke. Now, that's not
so I guess
a cool
you can't
thing
really
to joke
see it
about.
Coming.
No, that don't you think that's a totally uncool way to do April Fool's?
I never
dealing with somebody's injury?
Yeah, I never believe anybody on April Fool's Day. You never know if anything's true. Although I remember one year, Brent Musburger. Remember Brent Musburger was like one of the staples of CBS?
I sure do, and it was April the 1st. I remember it very clearly.
Yeah, he got fired, and I said, well, this has to be an April Fool's joke perpetuated by Musburger. He's pulling a joke on everybody. CBS would never fire him, and it turns out it was true.
Yeah. I remember that year, Musburger did the entire tournament, then got fired, and Jim Nance did the NCAA championship game.
Right, and has been there ever since.
Yeah. April Fool's is stupid. Do we have any April Fool's jokes planned? Let's just get them
I
out
don't.
Of the way. Go ahead, Ireland. Do your April
no,
Fool's
No, I don't.
Joke.
I never do.
Lindsay, go ahead. Do your April Fool's joke.
I don't have any. I hate it, too.
Jorge, do your April Fool's joke.
I'm taking next week off.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, see, if Mason says that, it's probably true.
I'm taking the week after next off.
Yeah.
That's not an April Fool's joke either. Disappointing. And I think probably if you look realistically, John, at the NBA standings and you look at the Western Conference, we're 30-18 right now. Thank God for those two wins against little –
Cleveland and Orlando
over the weekend. Yeah, thank you, Cleveland and Orlando. We are four games out of being in the play-in tournament. We're four games ahead of Dallas and 4.5 games ahead of San Antonio. Denver and Portland are right behind us, a half game back, and then comes Dallas. What do you think the likelihood, the percentage chance is that we are going to wind up in the play-in tournament?
I would say, if I'm being honest, about 50%.
Yeah, me too, 50%.
But I think if they end up in the play-in tournament, they'll win it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think the other teams are scared of the Lakers. But if you look at the schedule and you look at who they've got coming up, and you have to assume that for most of April, if not all of it, no LeBron and no AD – they are going to slide behind Dallas, probably into that 7 or 8 spot.
Right,
and,
right.
I don't think they'll miss the playoffs. I think that they will be in them. They may have to play in the play-in tournament, which is a little unfortunate because the play-in tournament, if you
would have given you a week off.
Yeah, if you finish top six, it would have, you know. But, you know, you do what you got to do. You can't. A lot of times you can't control injury.
And by the way, the play-in tournament, if you're the 7, all you got to do is beat. You only need one win.
Right. And if you're the 8, it's double elimination.
Correct.
It's really 9 or 10 that you can only be knocked out with one loss.
So you just don't want to be the 8. You want to be the 7.
Right. So here's how it works: the 7 and the 8 play, and whoever wins, that team is the 7. The team that loses goes and plays the winner of the 9-10 game.
Yes.
And so if you're a 9 or 10, you got to win twice to get in. If you're a 7 or 8, you only got to win once. And it looks like it'll be fun. I just won't, you know, root for the Lakers to be in it because it means they slid. And keep in mind, okay, so Mace, if they slide, like let's say at the end of April they slide to 7 or 8.
Yep.
Could happen. Remember, they still have May. They still have 4, 8, 9 games in May where you assume LeBron and AD will be ready. And then maybe they go 8-1, 9-0 in May and ramp it up and get back into the 6. So I think you just got to be patient and hope that these guys are getting better and that, you know, they'll get back to full strength when they do.
Yeah. Dodgers, by the way, starting lineup today. Mookie Betts leading off. Corey Seager, shortstop, batting second. JT, third. Cody Bellinger is batting cleanup in center field. Max Muncy at first base, so back-to-back lefties there. Chris Taylor getting the start in left field over A.J. Pollock. There's nothing wrong with Pollock. He'll probably start the rest of the series, and Bill Plunkett told me Dave Roberts was a little bit cagey about why he went with Chris Taylor today. Gavin Lux, who won the second base job, is batting 7th, and Austin Barnes gets the start over Will Smith in the eighth spot, and the Major League Baseball season for the Dodgers is underway. Mookie Betts takes a fastball high from Germán Márquez. All right, a lot coming up for you today, including T-Raj is going to join us. Travis Rogers, who's got the big showdown with John Ireland this weekend. We'll talk to him about everything, but we'll talk to him about the Ireland versus Travis Rogers 4. It's now not a trilogy, it's a quadrilogy.
Well, the third one was a tie, so this is just kind of an extension of the third one.
Okay, so we got that coming up for you. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Yeah. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Travis, by the way, does he take over as the hardest working person at 710 ESPN? He's doing the mornings, he's doing the nights, he's doing the Rams pregame, postgame. I mean, that's a lot of Travis Rogers on this station.
I think he would tell you it depends what time of year it is.
Right.
If it's during football season, that very well could be true. But during basketball season, he doesn't have very many night shows because we got a lot of Laker games. But
mornings and nights.
Yeah, so you used to do that, morning and nights.
I did do mornings and nights. It was a grind for 2 years. It was a grind. But joining us right now is the guy who does mornings and nights. He's here from sunup to sundown. Travis Rogers. Travis, what are you doing, man?
I'm watching the Dodger game, Mace. It's a good day today. It's opening day.
Yeah, first and second. JT's up.
Yep.
We're looking good, looking good. How did the pregame – now, was it social media channel only for the Dodgers preseason schedule or preseason special?
Yeah, so me and Greg were on the social platforms, and we did about 45 minutes on the Dodgers. Uh-oh, this doesn't look
what
good.
What did I tell you, mates? Double play.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was good. We got to talk about everything that hopefully happens this season, and I can't wait. This could be really, really cool this season.
All right, so Travis, tomorrow is Travis Ireland 4. You won the
tomorrow,
first two.
Right?
Saturday.
Oh, that's right. I don't even know what day it is. So Saturday. Is now, when's the last time you played 18 holes?
A week ago.
What'd you shoot?
I think it was a 79.
I am dead.
Wow.
I'm absolutely dead.
79.
Yeah. I can't beat Travis, the best golfer at the station. And now we have a development. You know, so the way we did this is we do teams. I'm with Tommy Lamb and Travis is with Chris Morales. And I've made Morales mad because I made fun of his songs at the beginning of the show.
No, he did. You really did piss him off.
Right. So do you think Morales, Travis, is the type of guy who plays better when he's mad or worse?
I think probably the latter. I don't know if Chris in an emotional state is what we need come Saturday afternoon. I need
right.
Chris in a good spot. I need Chris feeling good about his game. I need Chris feeling good about Chris. And then all of those other things will take care of themselves. But if he's on tilt, it could get away from us pretty quickly.
Don't you think Morales is always in an edgy, bad mood? I mean, I've never known him to have, like, a good day. Like, I say, hey, Chris, how's it going? He goes, this and that, and they're
that's
not
Chris.
Doing liners right, and then I hate those promos. And it's like, come on, man, lighten up. Dude, it's only radio. It's only radio.
So here's the deal, Mace. If that's your impression of Chris around the station and knowing him for a while, you should see him on the golf course because radio Chris is happy-go-lucky compared to golf course Chris. He goes to a very dark place.
An interesting thing happened. So it looked like I had Travis the last time we played.
Yes.
On the 17th hole, basically Morales conceded.
He was giving up before I even finished.
So I had about a 10-foot putt. Travis had about a 30-foot putt. And Morales walks up to me and goes, I can't believe we lost to you. I'll never live this down. This is going to drive me crazy. And Travis goes, Chris, shut up. I'm trying to putt here. It's not over. And Chris is moping. And Travis rolls in this, like, sidewinding 30-foot putt. And then I missed mine. And we tied. Then we kept trying to resolve. We tied in the 18th hole. We played an overtime hole. We tied. I think we only did two. We might have done three and tied again. But Chris gave up basically before the thing even ended.
He threw in the towel.
Yeah. And so that's kind of what Travis, sometimes you have to overcome your own teammates, and that may be what you have to do on Saturday.
We'll see. He's been working and working on his game.
I know from social media, every time I see a post from Chris Morales, it's him at a golf course with somebody else in the picture, masks on, and then there's a hole in the mask and a cigar sticking through it.
You gotta follow county regulations, Mace.
Apparently, that's right. It's fast time now.
Yeah.
And Chris is on a program where apparently he eats nothing but bacon, and he's dropped a bunch of weight. So he's going to be ready to go.
That doesn't sound terrible to me, eating
bacon. Gets terrible. I mean, that's like the old Atkins diet.
Have you done it, Mace? Have you done that diet?
I did the Atkins diet when I lived in New York. Actually, Dr. Atkins himself was a regular guest on the show. I think he later died of a heart attack, by the way. But he said,
coincidental, I'm sure.
Eat only meat and cheese. All meat and cheese. And apparently it does work.
Eat bread?
I've done heavy meat and cheese thing and dropped weight before, but I've never done the bacon exclusive version of it.
He's really only eating bacon.
That's what he says, and he's shown me some pictures along the way. He's got it prepared a handful of different ways, but yeah, he's getting it. He looks good.
That's rough.
He looks good.
I'm not allowed to talk about Morales' weight because he gets mad at that too.
No, he says,
go ahead now.
I'm not going to. I've decided I can't say anything to Chris without him getting. You can't say anything to. Do you notice this, Trav? You can't say anything to anybody in 2021 without the fear of being canceled.
It's not that bad.
It's just better to say good morning and keep it.
You say bad stuff, you're going to get in trouble. The world hasn't really changed. Say bad stuff, get in trouble.
I don't know what world you're looking at.
the real one in my estimation. So let me ask you about this Dodgers team. I've got them winning 105 games this year. I did homer it up in my picks for MVP and Cy Young. I've actually got Walker Buehler winning the Cy Young and Mookie winning the MVP.
I disagree with. I think he's got the wrong MVP. I think Corey Seager's going to win the MVP. What do you think?
I would lean more towards Seager, but we were talking about this on the social show we did. I'm afraid they might pull votes from each other, and somebody else might slide.
And then Soto sneaks in there and wins.
Right. Because first of all, you saw Corey Seager get that hit just a couple of minutes ago.
Bellinger is the third best favorite. MVP candidates.
Not a bad choice either. But I mean, Corey Seager. Remember when they shut down spring training last year? Right. They come back in the middle of the summer for training camp 2.0. And I remember watching those inter-squad games at Dodger Stadium, and Corey Seager's just laying line drives all over the place. Like, wow, he's really hot. And then through 60 games, he stayed hot. And then through the playoffs, he stayed hot. And then through the World Series, he stayed hot. And then in spring training this year, he stayed hot. His first at-bat this year, line drive to left field. I've never seen somebody this hot for this long, which leads me to believe maybe he's not hot. Maybe he's just this good, and he's finally healthy for the first time in a long time. He's amazing. He's my favorite Dodger, has been for a while. He's extraordinary.
You add to it the fact that he's playing for a contract, too.
Yeah.
You know, turned down an extension or wasn't willing to talk about an extension with the Dodgers. You know, Scott Boras was going to make him a free agent. And, you know, we just saw what Francisco Lindor signed for. 11 years, what, 341, I think it was? 11 years, 341. Does that sound right?
You wonder
what a contract for Corey Seager could potentially look like.
Well,
I mean, it's going to be potentially huge.
It's going to be huge, for sure. But the Dodgers have shown that they'll spend money. If he wants to win, there's nowhere else to go. If he wants familiarity, there's nowhere else to go. Maybe somebody somewhere squeezes a few extra bucks out of somebody. But the Dodgers aren't going to lose because they're not willing to pay him the going rate. They've shown that they're willing to do that. He's set up as well as you could be set up here in LA. They win. I don't know what else he could be looking for. Obviously, he needs to get the going rate, but if he does, where would he go?
Travis, do you agree with people who think the Angels, who've signed a bunch of guys to one-year contracts, could sneak into the playoffs?
No, because none of them were pitchers.
Yeah.
Quintana, who had a really good spring and has been a really good player, they did add him to the rotation, and I like that.
Yeah, he's fine, but I mean, the Angels have had the same problem for as long as I can remember. They score runs, they hit the ball, and they don't pitch. I mean, it's not super complicated to figure out. I mean, we're on year 10 of Mike Trout having been in the playoffs once, and it's because they don't pitch.
It's funny that they would sign Rendon to the gigantic deal. They signed Pujols, obviously, to the gigantic deal a number of years back, but they won't spend big on a pitcher.
Well, they made a run at Cole, and he decided to go to the Yankees instead. Kind of hard to argue with that one. But
yep.
You would have thought that somewhere along the line, somebody would have taken their money to come pitch for him, and no one really has. They haven't developed any pitchers, really. They haven't been successful in trying to go into that second tier and get some guys along the way. Maybe they'll find some guys. I mean, I would love to see Mike Trout on a more national stage. I'd love to see everybody get to see him the way that we do here, but if they pitch like they've pitched the last few years, they got no shot.
Hey, settle a debate, Travis. Yesterday we were talking about Mike Trout, and Mason says that he, even if he doesn't do anything in the postseason, if he just keeps doing what he's doing, which is basically finishing first or second in MVP voting every single year, mm-hmm. and putting up Babe Ruth-like numbers, but it's all in the regular season. If he never does anything in the postseason, could you call him the greatest, one of the greatest five players ever? Or does he yes. have to have postseason success
no,
to make that
absolutely group? 100% yes. I mean, Ken, do you have a memory of Ken Griffey Jr. in the playoffs beyond, like, the divisional round?
Yeah, right.
I mean, right, I put other guys ahead of Ken Griffey
Jr. But Ken Griffey yeah. Jr. isn't even close to what Mike Trout has
no,
done.
He's not. But Trout's numbers are, you go back and go look at his baseball reference page, and they put all the league leaders in bold. It's nothing but bold.
Yeah.
It's just the whole page
right.
is you, bolded out.
By the way, do you guys think that's unique to baseball? Because if you made a list of every great NBA player, and there have been a lot of them, who never won a title, from Charles Barkley to Patrick Ewing, nobody would have them in the top five because, and for whatever reason, in baseball, you don't necessarily get judged by titles, but in basketball, mm-hmm. same thing in football.
Quarterbacks get judged. Nobody else really gets judged.
Here's why baseball is different than basketball in particular and quarterbacks, more generally speaking, in football. Mike Trout can only come up to bat when it's his turn to bat. The quarterback touches the ball every play.
Right.
LeBron James touches the ball every play. Patrick Ewing touched the ball every play. Charles Barkley touched the ball every play. Mike Trout gets five at-bats a night at best. And so if the guys in front of him can't do anything, if the bullpen is melting down, if they don't pitch well, it's not his. It's hard to count it against him as opposed to a guy that misses shots at the end or doesn't perform or pray. Like James Harden's a perfect example. James Harden's a great player. But in the playoffs, he becomes something entirely different.
Yes.
And it's not because of anything that P.J. Tucker did. It's because of what James Harden did. It has nothing to do with anybody other than Harden. It's not true of a baseball player. A baseball player can only control what they can control in their at-bats. And so that's why I think it's a little different in baseball.
All right. Hey, listen, Trap, thanks a lot for coming. I know you
Wait,
got another
you
show
to
do
ask
soon.
Them.
Yeah?
Who's gonna win on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to read all the stuff, but who do you think is going to win on Saturday?
We're talking about John and mine thing?
Yeah, we're talking about the rematch.
Yeah,
Ireland
Chris.
Versus
yeah.
Travis Four.
Yeah,
Travis is going to win. If he shot 79 the other day, I can't get him at 79.
You are such a quitter.
Yeah.
You have no Mason, fight
this,
in you.
Mason, this is the difference.
This could be sandbagging, though, too, Mace. John could be playing a little game here.
Yeah, but Mason, here's the difference. I'll give you 30 strokes and you can't beat me.
No, I'm not talking about that. I just, no matter what I do, I always believe I can win.
Okay, so play me.
No, not
quitter.
A golfer. I'm not a golfer.
Yeah, that's true.
The things that I'm trying to do, I always believe I can win. I never go out with a losing mentality. Because, John, let's be honest, it's golf. Travis can have a bad day. You can have a good day. You
Correct.
Can have a great day.
100%
you can have a
true.
Historic day.
Here's the difference. In golf, I really don't pay, and Travis is probably the same way, I don't really pay attention very much to what the other guy's doing. You know?
You touched on something really important, and I've tried to tell Chris this. No one cares how you're playing.
Right.
No one. No one's paying attention. No one cares. Everybody is so tied up in their own
correct.
What, that they're not even looking at you. Just
wow.
play your game and let it happen.
Well, so somebody gave me great contract advice once when I was, like, negotiating a contract. They said,
yeah.
contract negotiation is like golf. Play your own ball. Why do you care if someone got twice the amount you did? Only person you should care about is you. And that's the best
Perfect.
Way to play golf.
You know,
no
that's
doubt.
That's the motto of my life. The only person you should care about is you.
Yeah, that is true. You do love you some you.
I do love me some me.
Why not?
All right, Ireland versus Travis Four, the rematch. Last time ended in a tie. It's this Saturday at Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda. It starts at 9 a.m. You can watch hole-by-hole coverage on our @ESPN Los Angeles social accounts. And thank you to our partners, Coors Light, Roger Dunn Golf Shops, and Black Gold Golf Club. Are you on tonight, Travis?
No, not tonight. We're on a bunch next week. Four times next week, me and Slee.
All right, cool. Travis Rogers.
Oh,
there.
Those are going to be Laker postgame shows because they got a lot of early games back east next week.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, Trav, good luck on Saturday.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Travis Rogers there. Speaking of golf, John, and by the way, Dodgers, two hits in the first inning, but were unable to scratch against Germán Márquez, and Clayton Kershaw is now on the mound for the Dodgers. Retired the first two batters. It's scoreless in Colorado at Coors Field. So, again, we'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on at the game. Coming up next, speaking of golf, Dustin Johnson won last year's, as Clayton Kershaw yields his first hit, Dustin Johnson won the Masters, right?
The one in November, yeah.
Yeah, the one in November. He has set the Champions Dinner menu. I want to get your thoughts on it and find out what your menu would look like. That's right. Coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, it's baseball opening day. What is up? Dodgers, Rockies scoreless after one as the world champs begin their defense of the World Series title. And, of course, Mason in Ireland, thanks a lot for being out there. Thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate you. Thanks a lot, because we will not be able to do this stupid show without you. Now, the Masters Champions Dinner is something that happens every single year. Whoever wins the green coat gets to pick the menu for the next year at the beginning of the Masters. And this year it is Dustin Johnson who got to pick the menu. And it sounds good to me. It's a good, solid American-style menu. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen any of it.
Appetizers, pigs in a blanket.
Okay.
Great cocktail party treat. And lobster and corn fritters.
Okay.
Sounds delicious. First course, either a house salad or a Caesar salad. Now, I would like a table-side Caesar if it was me. Family-style sides, mashed potatoes and spring vegetables. Main course, filet mignon and miso-marinated sea bass. And then the dessert is peach cobbler and apple pie with vanilla ice cream. John, what do you think of the menu?
Like it. Solid.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of good options there.
Didn't really take any chances, right? Didn't go out of the box with any of his picks. And I think it's very personal. I guess you don't want to do something that some people are not going to like. Is that kind of the rule?
Well, you're supposed to do something that kind of represents you.
Stuff you like, the stuff you eat.
Well, you remember what Fuzzy Zeller got in trouble one year because Tiger did something basic like hamburgers and french fries because he's a young guy.
Yep.
And he just won the Masters. And Fuzzy was doing an interview. And do you remember what he said?
Yeah, something about fried chicken.
Right. And, you know, it was like a derogatory thing. And he ended up apologizing for it, and he got through it. I think that the dinner is supposed to be a reflection of you.
Right.
Like, you would probably serve those flounder sandwiches from Popeyes.
Oh,
right?
I would serve me some Popeyes.
Yeah, which is totally
love
fine.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
That's you. That would be your
that
thing.
That is me.
You know, if it was me, I would do pork chops. Here's my whole spread. I would do, for appetizers, crab cakes. Nothing beats a good crab cake.
Nothing wrong with a good crab cake.
All right. For the main course, and by the way, if you're going to do a salad, you got to do lobster salad. Lobster salads are fantastic. Lobster and salad, for whatever reason, just work. But then for the main course, pork chop, baked potato, Brussels sprouts roasted. Do you like roasted Brussels sprouts?
Yeah, oh, they're delicious.
Okay,
yeah.
So roasted Brussels, and then for dessert, banana split. Everybody likes
nice.
A banana split. That's
I like going. That. I like that as a menu. Mine would go, let's see. My appetizers would be, I think it would be fish. It would be a fish dish. It would be shrimp.
Your Popeye's flounder sandwich is a fish dish.
Yeah, I know. Oh, you know that's a very good idea. So the Popeye's flounder sandwich as an appetizer.
Your menu sounds a lot like what the White House served Clemson when they won the national championship.
The first course, no salad at all. What the hell good is salad? The sides would be French fries and onion rings.
Well, that's a strong call, bringing in the onion rings.
The main course is the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Love that chicken for Popeye's. And dessert, what else but donuts?
Yeah, see, now that would be a reflection of you.
Yes.
So that's a good menu for you.
Lindsay, have you thought about this? Jorge, have you thought about this at all? What would your, what would your main courses be?
Do you want my whole menu or just the main course?
No, you have a whole, if you have a whole menu, please let her rip.
I would have spicy tuna rolls for nice. My appetizer.
Like that.
What salad, whatever, would be a blue cheese chop salad from Outback Steakhouse.
Okay, specifically from Outback.
Yes, has to be that one because it's the greatest dressing in the world. Okay. My main course would be grilled salmon with some kind of like lemon citrus something on it.
Nice, the lemon citrus baked salmon.
And grilled, not baked.
Grilled.
With asparagus on the side.
Okay.
And then my dessert would be creme brulee.
Ooh, nice.
Wow, that sounds like that's a fancy menu, Linz.
Jorge, what are you going with?
Appetizers, finger food, fries, wings, just finger food, simple.
Okay.
Steak, main course, steak and shrimp skewers. You know, I think that would work.
Nice. Yeah.
And then maybe a choice of soup or salad, chicken, tortilla soup maybe.
I was going to say, Jorge, where's the Mexican food? I'm a little disappointed that you're not giving me any flavor there.
Chicken, tortilla soup or chips and salsa, whatever you want, you know?
Yep.
And then for dessert, I would go with a maybe churros with like some kind of ice cream on there.
Nice. Ooh, yeah. I like that. Churros and ice cream. Yeah. There you go. Jorge, you're a cook, right? You're a chef.
Here and there, I try.
I saw your Super Bowl spread. Your Super Bowl spread was very impressive.
We do tacos. We do, you know, whatever we can. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Hey, you said earlier in the show that Gavin Lux won the second base job.
Yes, he did.
Wouldn't it be more accurate to say was handed the second base job as kind of an audition?
No, he won it.
Who'd he win it over?
Chris Taylor.
But Taylor's starting in left today.
Well, he happens to be starting in left, but Chris Taylor's going to return to being a utility guy.
I remember, for whatever reason, Lux, I remember there was an outfielder when you and I were doing the show in San Diego, however many years ago, named Sean Abner, and he was the number one pick in the draft, in the baseball draft. So, he had very high hopes, and Joe McElvain took him when he was with the Mets and then brought him with him, traded for him, brought him with him to the Padres. And McElvain just said, okay, we're handing Sean Abner the left field job. He doesn't have to compete for it. It's his job. We think it'll help his confidence, and we're going to see what he does with it. And I said, how long is reasonable to give him? He goes, I don't know. I'll know when I know.
Yes.
And they gave him a month. And it Kershaw, by the way, base hit.
Yeah. By the way, Kershaw, lifetime 357 hitter at Coors Field.
Come on, Grinshaw.
I think you and I would be a lifetime 357 hitter at Coors Field.
Still impressive. Still impressive.
So I think that's what the Dodgers are doing with Gavin Lux. They are basically saying, look, we're not going to make you compete. You've been great in the minors. You've been a really good minor leaguer. It's your job to lose. Now go show us what you can do.
See, I think that's completely unfair. I mean, he did compete. He batted .333 with an .856 OPS during spring training. Mm-hmm. To me, that's like you won the job. You hit your way into this job.
So how long do you give him at the? Because he hasn't been able to produce at the major league level yet. Doesn't mean he won't.
Yeah, but he's had 105 at-bats. Right,
so how long is that? Is that a reasonable sample size? Give him 100 more? You got to give him 200 more? 100 more would be what, about 20 games? You got to give him a little more than that, right?
Well, Mike Trout, his first year came up for the second part of the season.
Yeah, he didn't play great.
Yeah, had 150 at-bats and batted .230. So how long do you give Gavin Lux?
200 at-bats is probably reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, I think Gavin Lux is going to be a state-of-the-art hitter. I think Gavin Lux is absolutely going to be productive. And he did beat out Chris Taylor for the second base job.
My understanding was that Taylor – well, next time I have Plunkett on, we could talk to him. My understanding was that Taylor is going to play like the Kike role. He's going to play all these different positions.
Correct. Well,
rather than be the everyday anything.
And Zach McKinstry is going to be the other everyday anywhere guy.
By the way, Gavin Lux first at bat, he grounded into a double play, but I thought the play at first was closer than apparently anyone else did.
Yeah.
I thought he might have been
We didn't score. Soft liner caught in right field. All right, coming up next for you, Clinton Yates is going to join us. Huge baseball fan. We'll dive into all of it with him. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN. And Dodgers in a scoreless tie at Coors Field. It is nothing across the plate. Bottom two, Clayton Kershaw has allowed a hit. Dodgers have had, I think, four hits and have yet to score. They're facing Germán Márquez. We'll keep you up to date on Dodgers opening day. I'm always excited about opening day. Clinton Yates is going to join us here in a minute. I wanted to warn everybody in advance, John. This is a public service announcement. Are you ready? Remember that boat that got stuck in that canal in Africa?
Yeah, in the Suez Canal.
Yeah. So one of the things that happened, you saw all the other boats that were blocked from going through there?
Correct. It shut down the canal and all the business that went to and from it.
So we are, apparently, that has affected the world toilet paper market.
No kidding.
And there will be shortages of toilet paper in the United States in the next month. That means run, you know how to do this. I know you know how to do this, Los Angeles. Run to the grocery and buy more toilet paper. I've seen it happen. You don't want to be caught in this shortage.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Have we ever had a toilet paper shortage in this country?
A toilet paper what? Shortage?
Yeah. Has there ever been a run on toilet paper? I've never.
Oh, yeah, at the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah.
Even in the beginning of the pandemic, I was always pandemic. Able to find it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I saw empty shelves. At
not
the
to get
of the
gross
pandemic.
Or anything, but what do you do if you can't find toilet paper?
You just take a shower every day? Oh, that's why God invented paper towels. You know, that's why.
I got a kid. I'll use a wipe.
Napkins. All right, joining us right now on that note is Clinton Yates. Clinton, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. The thing you use when you don't have toilet paper are those wipes you use to wash your face that are disposable. Those work very well, okay,
well, you
for
know,
all the
and
listeners
they,
out there.
They sell those as wipes to do whatever you want to do, you know? So
yeah, it's a bathroom tool. Do
yes.
what you like with it.
Excellent advice. Hey, yesterday, Clinton, Mason asked me who's going to win the National League MVP, and I picked Corey Seager because I think nobody can get him out. But if I wasn't going to pick Seager, I would have picked Juan Soto, who plays for your favorite team, the Washington Nationals. Am I a year early on Soto, or do you think Soto could be an MVP contender? I think he's only 22. Could he be an MVP contender this year?
The only reason I think you're a year early on Juan Soto being MVP is because I don't exactly know how good that actual baseball team is. And I think that that affects a lot of things. You look at that division. You look at the Mets with Frankie Lindor. You look at the Bravos, who I like to call the Atlanta Hammers after the late, great Hank Aaron, and Frederico Freeman. And I just feel like it's a top-heavy sort of division, and I just don't know how good the Nats are going to be to keep him in MVP discussions personally. Do I think that means that he's not as talented? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm talking about. Juan Soto is probably the best player, I don't know, in the Big 125, if you really want to start arguing about it. But yep. There are so many other guys that are in this mix that I think it's going to be very difficult on a sort of non-World Series contender.
Yeah, Clinton
Sounds
Yates
like we made
is
a loss,
sort of
Clinton.
In and out there. But I do get the point that he was saying, which is because Washington is not likely to be a contender, we know that's always a component of being the MVP. That may count Juan Soto out. The guys that I do love in addition to that, and now we've got Clinton back. Hey, man. You back?
Yeah, well, listen, I'm on the road in Louisiana. I'm going to a college baseball game. This is real life radio right here, so know that.
Okay, got it.
All right, so wait, by the way, Clinton, are you in Baton Rouge or are you in New Orleans?
I am between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, which is why we're breaking up here. I'm on a two-lane highway, the 10, which I'm told is the same 10 that goes all the way to Los Angeles. So
no way!
I'll be back in 3 days if I really wanted to drive it.
Okay.
The 10 winds up in Louisiana?
Yes, actual fact. You can take this thing all the way to what, Houston?
Well,
you did it all the way to LA from there. Yeah.
Yeah. But so, Clinton, the reason I asked is I lived in Louisiana for a year, And when I lived there, okay. I don't know if these places still exist, but I always used to say that Louisiana has the loosest rules of any state in the union. And one thing they offered when I lived there were drive-through daiquiris with actual alcohol in them. So think about that. You drive up, they hand you...
Hold on. You're going to love this story. I am here with a friend of mine who works in baseball. We went to a game the other day. He picked me up from the airport, and guess what was sitting in the cup holders when he picked me up? You guessed it. The daiquiris. Absolutely still available.
Right.
No questions asked. Many sizes and many flavors, and they're all delicious.
Mace, can you believe that? That literally, like, here, you would get cited for open container and probably locked up. In Louisiana, you drive up to the window and say, make mine a double, and he hands you a daiquiri.
And in New Orleans in particular, open container's a way of life, man. Everybody's walking through the streets with a
guy in New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly. So as you look at this Dodgers team, Clinton, and Clinton Yates is with us, who's a big baseball guy and, of course, a regular here on 710 ESPN. As you look at this Dodgers team, do you see a flaw of any kind?
No. I see a lot of pressure, though. I said this the other day on the program with you guys, and I still believe it. I actually think they're the odds-on favorite. And, you know, there's an argument that, and this is very harsh, but if the Dodgers don't win the World Series, there's some level of disappointment. And I say that from this point of constructive criticism. They're better than they were last year, and they won the World Series last year. You know what I'm saying? Like, the talent,
right,
in my
can
opinion,
I,
is for you.
Clinton, can I clap back at you a little bit on that?
Oh, I love when John Ireland says clap back. Go ahead.
That's a ridiculous position because no team has repeated as a World Series champion since the Yankees at the turn of the century. It just doesn't happen in baseball. It's been 21 years. It's not. I mean, the odds are actually overwhelmingly against the Dodgers.
I understand that, but half of the reason why it doesn't happen is because the way so many championship teams are constructed is that they nail it after so many years to get to one point, and then they get there, and then they do it, and then it's done. Look at the Nationals, for example. They were never going to be contenders in 2020, in my personal opinion. They lost too many guys, and so on and so forth. I'm sorry. If your team is better, your manager is the same, you're back to full force. I'm not. Disappointment is probably the wrong word, but they are still the favorite for a reason. And I'm not saying I'm going to be upset if the Dodgers don't win the World Series. That's not what we're getting at here. But, like, if you walk into the ballpark and you're walking into the Dodgers, you better expect be treated as the best team in the league because you are. And I think that there's something a little different about this season, just from a fan standpoint, than last season in terms of expectations, just as what you think this team can do. There was always the question as to whether or not Doc is going to be able to get him over the hump. Well, they did. You know what I'm saying? And now that we're all back here, expect and wants excellence. There's nothing wrong with that when your team is that talented.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger, two-run homer. Dodgers take a, I think it's a two-run homer. Why is he standing there?
No,
it was close.
No, it's a two-run homer. He doesn't know. The outfielder actually, the ball hit his glove and went out. This should be a home run.
The left fielder was...
Hold on. A Jose Canseco situation? It hit him, and then it went out of the yard?
That's what I thought. But now the umpires have halted the game, and they're talking about it. Yep, they just called it a home run.
I'm
not so sure, guys, that this would have gone out had the left fielder not assisted it. But, I mean, we'll look at the replay. But now, Mace, they're arguing that Bellinger passed Justin Turner on the base path. So
what? I went to a high school baseball game yesterday, and I didn't see anything that ridiculous. You can't pass a guy on the base pass.
This is going to be interesting. So here's what happened. The ball went out of the outfielder's glove. And by the way, it would not have been a home run. Is it Johnny Tapia who's the left fielder for Colorado Mesa?
Not Johnny Tapia. Yeah, all right.
So this guy goes back in left field. The ball comes out of his glove, Clinton, and then he lifts it over the fence. The problem was Justin Turner had thought he caught it and reversed back to first base and passed Bellinger on the way. I think they're going to rule Turner out.
And
I think this is going to be a one-run homer.
That's a full-blown blooper. That's a full-blown blooper.
I've never seen this happen before.
In fairness to them, I mean, the ball was in that guy's glove. So I understand why Turner would have doubled back. It was a very confusing call.
Are we in the rare home run error situation that I love the most? Is that an error in your opinion? Ball's in his glove and it goes over the fence and he doesn't grab it?
No, it's clearly a home run. That's not debatable. It's a home run.
It hits the glove and goes over. He was going to it's Ramiel Tapia.
It's R-A-I-M-E-L is this guy's name.
Great video, by the way. Three guys talking about something they're looking at, and I didn't even see it. I'm just listening to you. This is awesome.
I've never seen this happen in a baseball game before. So Bellinger thinks it's a home run. Turner runs back past him, and so I think Turner is out.
Turner is between first and second or second and third?
Turner touched second, then reversed back to tag up.
Okay, all right.
And I don't think you can allow Turner to score if you're the umpire because he never touched home plate. And Bellinger passed him on the base pass.
That's that would make Turner out. Yeah.
Right. Yep, Turner's out.
Wow.
Wow. So it's a 1-0 lead for the Dodgers. 1-0 lead. All right. Hey, listen, Clinton, we'll do this a lot this year because it's baseball season. Yep, they call it a solo home run for Cody Bellinger. We will talk to you again soon, man.
All right, guys. Have a great time.
Have fun,
Clinton. I'm going to a college baseball game. I'm having a great time. I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome, man.
Hey,
thank you very much.
And I'm sure this is the argument that Dave Roberts made. Okay. I know what the rule is, that once Turner ran past Bellinger, Turner's out because you can't have the one runner pass the other
one. In front of the other.
But once the ball goes over the fence, is that not a dead ball home run? I mean, it can't be put back into play, right? So what difference does it make if Turner passes Bellinger?
But I think you've got to – you can't let one runner go in front of the other. I think that's what it was. Justin Turner thought it was a catch and was returning to first base.
And Bob Nightingale just tweeted,
thought it was gone and passed him.
Wait a minute. Bob Nightingale just tweeted, Bellinger is credited with a run-scoring single.
Oh, that is so weird. So somehow they wiped the home run off the board. That's very confusing.
So here it is. Jorge Castillo with an explanation that isn't going to make a lot of sense, but here it is. Cody Bellinger hit a home run, but Justin Turner thought it was caught, so he ran back to first base as Bellinger jogged by him, so Bellinger is out. It's a solo home run, not a two-run home run, but Nightingale says it's a run-scoring single.
We're getting multiple reports that it's a solo home run.
Okay. That would make sense to me.
Yeah, that's the one that makes the most sense. All right, coming up next for you is Fast Track. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.